Hello and welcome to Not So Molly Mormon Podcast.
Hello, welcome back everyone. This is Sarah.
And this is Katie. And breaking news, Sarah had a stomach bug but did not shit her pants.
I know. This is so, yeah, I didn't shit my pants, you guys. That is the first time it's ever happened. So well done, butthole.
Well done, being Sarah's butthole. Shout out to Sarah's butthole. That's how we're starting this episode. Speaking of poop, I got to tell you something
about poop.
And I can tell you this because I know you haven't seen it yet. So we are, Sarah and I are in a little group chat with our dear friends over at Not So Peter Priesthood podcast, Dusty and Jake. And that text thread is essentially just stuff about the Mormon church and about pooping yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it. And British memes.
Oh, and British memes. Right. Well, Jake sent earlier this reel that this woman was saying, you can earn money by pooping. There's a company. What? Yeah, there's a company that you mail in your poop and it's like they'll pay you $500 per poop. And I was like, what? This can't be real. So I went and I looked and it's real. But
what do they do with your poo?
They like test it to see. It's like some kind of testing for gut biome and gut health thing. And I was like, whoa, you know who? Sarah could make a lot of money doing this.
Oh my God, I could.
But I searched through their website and you have to fill out this like questionnaire thing. And I was about to do it. I'm like, hey, I want to get on board this. But these bitches, they're like, the ideal candidate, the ones that we accept, are under 30 years old and proficient athletes. And I was like, this is poop discrimination.
This is poop discrimination. Why? It's ageism as well. Like,
excuse me, all poop is worthy.
Exactly. It doesn't need to be under 30. What?
Right. So anyway, I had my hopes so up for us, and I was thinking they could even be a sponsor of the podcast, but no more, because alas, we are old cronies. We're over 30 and we're not professional volleyball players. I know you all thought we were, but yeah.
Except for the one hater who called us chubby spinsters.
Oh yeah, very creative insult there, ma'am.
Oh, I'm so sad about this, you guys. When Katie got my hopes up, I was about to quit my day job, quit everything, and just
I got my hopes up too, and then I was like, oh, they got me all excited. Now I have to poop and I won't be getting paid for it.
Oh, but at least I did not pee myself yesterday, you guys.
See, that's the silver lining, is that every other time you've mentioned to me that you've had a stomach issue while not inside your house, poop has escaped your body in a way
that has ruined pairs of jeans. Some shoes. I mean, it's happened multiple times now, but this time I managed, but I was at work. I told Katie the whole story. It was like chatting with a colleague, and all of a sudden I was like, I gotta go.
Then
it was my anxiety kicked in of how am I gonna get home? The only option I have is an hour long commute on the train. Got myself a plastic bag and had it in my pocket. And I just thought, if I'm going to throw up, I'm going to throw up in a bag, or I'm going to shit myself on the train and just blame it on the person beside me. That's what my plan was. Yep.
Hopefully you weren't wearing a skirt.
Oh, could you imagine? Oh,
it would just, oh God, we're being gross. My apologies.
Yeah, we're being disgusting. Point being, we're all okay, but stomach bugs, they're real. They're real. They're not fun. They're not pleasant.
No, not fun.
And we don't get paid to poop, which is the other annoying thing.
It is just such a tragedy, really.
It's a tragedy.
Why do the young athletic people get enough attention? You know what?
Right?
Save some poop stardom for us.
Yeah, we all need it. That's the name of the podcast episode. Save some poop stardom for us.
All right, there we go. There we go.
There we go. Anyway, speaking of poop, there's a big old mound of poop that I want to talk about. And
beautiful segue.
It's called General Conference 2024.
I was wondering if you were going to cover General Conference 2024. And funny enough, right up on my laptop screen right now is the General Conference list of talks. Because I was waiting for Sarah to get online and I was like, oh, maybe I'll browse some of these and see if I can cover it next week. But I haven't read any of them. So this is perfect.
Oh, then you need to pick. There's so many good ones on there. I just, because I kept seeing the, people comment on Holland's talk. And so I was like, oh, it's General Conference. Or I saw that a lot of people, like ex-Mormons, were tagged, putting, checked in safe from General Conference.
And yeah. I was
like, oh, yeah, it's General Conference. So, I wanted to see. So I looked up Holland's talk just because of that famous quote that's been going around from him. I don't know if you've seen it. Have you?
Well, I sent you a screenshot of something I saw someone sharing about his talk, like a long quote of his. Is this a short quote?
Oh my God, that's so embarrassing if you sent that to me and I'm like, oh, no. Oh, I remember what you're talking about. Yeah, that's the long quote. I'm not talking about that.
Okay.
One.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm not even going to read. So I want to talk about two talks. The one from President Jeffrey R. Holland, president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. The name of his talk is Motions of a Hidden Fire.
Gross.
I don't want to even go into his because it's just, ugh, the other one is, I mean, they're all, ugh, but, this one I just thought was funny because he starts off, and this is the quote that I've seen going around. Okay. He says, "Brothers and sisters, I have learned a painful lesson since I last occupied this pulpit in October of 2022.
Ooh, what did you learn?
That lesson is, if you don't give an acceptable talk, you can be banned for the next several conferences."
Is he trying to make a joke?
I don't know. I didn't watch it, but... Yeah, and then he goes, "You can see I am assigned early in the first session of this one. What you can't see is that I am positioned on a trap door with a very delicate latch. If this talk doesn't go well, I won't see you for another few conferences." Yeah. And because you remember his last talk was the one about was it Musket?
Oh, yeah, he gave a talk at BYU about musket fire.
Yeah.
Oh, God. This writing, whoever wrote this for Holland, it's not good.
No. it's going to go down like a lead balloon. Like, I didn't watch the video, to be fair, so I'm not sure if, he was doing it in a jokey manner or if, Mormons were like, oh, that's so funny. But I can't imagine. But
you know that sound when they all laugh together and it's so culty. Oh my God. Oh my God.
So cringy.
Yeah.
I was just like, is this for real? Like when I read the quote, because I saw it going around, then I opened the talk and I was like, okay, is this for real? Like, is he making a joke that he's been banned on giving talks because that one was so controversial and obviously...
Yeah, what's he alluding to there? Or just, is it just a terrible grapple at humor? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Don't know. Because I did read the rest of the talk and I was like, maybe he's trying to make it a joke and that's why he hasn't given any talks in the last 2 years. Or he does say that his wife has passed away recently. I was like, maybe that's what it really was, but I'm pretty sure it's because he gave that talk and the church got a lot of heat after that talk.
Yeah, that talk at BYU was horrific. I saw some people quoting him on Facebook. That's where I still interact with, well, not interact with, but I see the most Mormon content is on Facebook. And I saw some people sharing quotes by him on over conference weekend. And girl, I was so, so incredibly tempted to look up that Musket Fire speech and word for word copy and paste that underneath their, like, oh, the beloved Jeffrey R. Holland said this, and I wanted to be like, look what he said at BYU about gay people. But I didn't stir the pot, because like we say all the time, it's like, it's their page, whatever. But it was very tempting to be like, so you're revering this man and look at, but you're just ignoring this other shit that he said.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
No, yeah. When you sent me that screenshot, I was just like, oh my God. But also, it's so cultish. Like, it's wild when you're out of the church and you see people posting on their social media these statuses of, like, quotes from the general authority and Mormon leaders. And, oh, boy. And I say that because I did that a lot.
Oh, like, I know. Yeah,
Facebook and memories loves to remind me how much I did that.
I know. And there's whole entire accounts on Instagram and everything that are dedicated to taking these quotes and putting them in image format so they're even more easily shareable, right? So instead of someone taking the time to write the notes down and then type up the notes and put it on their status, which some people do, but a lot of people just end up sharing over and over and over the same thing that an apostle has said. And in their minds, it's like, oh, this is uplifting and wholesome. But when you leave the church, you're like, these people are in a cult. They're all just sharing the same thing. And it's all this weird flowery language, which is also like, basically telling you that you're shit without Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And follow the church and stay in the church. And it's like, you just want to shake these people and be like, oh my God, what are you doing? And we know what their mindset is because we were there once.
Exactly. 100%.
Yeah.
It's so bad. I'm going to leave that talk there because I can't stomach Holland today.
I can't stomach Holland ever.
Yeah, or ever. So, you know, we can come back to that one another day. But I just thought that was interesting that he made that comment. Don't know if it was supposed to be a joke or like a dig or what, but
it's interesting, like, for sure. Yeah.
Interesting. The other one I did want to talk about is, so it's from Brother Michael T. Nelson, Second Counselor in the Young Men General Presidency.
Brother Michael T.
Michael T.
And spilling that Michael T.
Michael, spilling the Michael T. It's called In Support of the Rising Generation.
Oh, boy.
Because there was another talk, and I can't remember it now off the top of my head, that was basically saying that the church numbers were rising. And I was like, it's not. Like, they keep saying that.
Like Brad Wilcox was saying in one of our last episodes, like, not that many people are actually leaving. Brad, shut up. Yes, they are.
Exactly, Brad. Shut your mouth. It's not true. But then this one, I was like, now that, you know, they're switching. I mean, they've always targeted the youth, and they've always targeted, like, more brainwashing and trying to get them on board. But I think it's coming even stronger because they really – they can see that the young people are leaving, and like people who access to the interwebs and are just like researching things are slowly, not even slowly, they're quickly leaving and exiting.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I think that they've switched gears a bit more. But this one I was like, oh God, it's just, again, when you're out of the church and you read this kind of stuff, you're just like, it's so cultish. And the fact that they like target adolescents and youth and anyway, so you remember
that's
the
they want to have their retention, right? It's
exactly.
It's a business.
Yeah, it's a business. They got to keep churn down low, right?
Yep.
So listeners, remember when Katie covered the story, or maybe it was me, I don't really remember, one of us, about Helaman and the stripling warriors?
Oh, I remember those stripping warriors.
A stripping warrior. So this good old brother, Michael T. Nelson, he does a good old classic Mormon TikTok analogy where he talks about Helaman.
And we are as the army of Helaman.
We have been something
taught in our youth that we will be the Lord's missionaries to bring
the world his truth.
Oh my God, we just did our first duet. You all are so welcome, and I'm so sorry.
That song burned in our memories forever and ever. And then you also have, so that's the men who sing that, and then the women, the young women come in and start singing, "I sisters in Zion, we know
together."
The blessings of, I don't remember the rest of it.
His kingdom will be.
And then it's a good old harmony and duet.
Oh, dear.
Boy, oh boy. Yes, anyways, he talks about Helaman and the stripling warriors, and he compares them. So he goes, quote, "In preparing to speak to you, I have been drawn to the story of Helaman and the stripling sons of the people of Ammon. I have felt the power of Book of Mormon prophets teaching parents, bishops, and ward members through studying this account."
Can we just pause here?
Yeah.
Just a reminder. I know I say it like every episode, but these people are fake.
Yeah.
These people are made up, but Mormons think that they're real.
They think they're real, which is a whole other – I was literally – you basically, it's a great segue into my notes where I was – I put in there, it's crazy when you read the general conference talks as an ex-Mormon, and they're all based on these fictional characters in a book that is just fictional. And it's weird because they like really tie it to like religious principles and doctrine, and they think it's real. I mean, it's true.
It's bizarre.
Like it's weird. It'd be like going to, I don't know, some religious place, and they're like talking about the stories in Harry Potter. And
right.
As if they're like someone you should worship or think are idyllic in the sense of, yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather worship the characters in Harry Potter than the ones in the Book of Mormon.
Right. They're so much more interesting.
It's like, imagine going to this big conference center and there's thousands of people. And someone's up there talking about the characters in Grimm's fairy tales as if they actually lived, and that you should take these lessons from them. And everyone in the audience is just like leaning on their every word, like, yes, yes.
it's
bizarre.
Weird. It's weird. Okay, so he says, "Helaman loved these young men like sons and saw their potential. Elder Del G. Rinlin taught that to effectively serve others, we must see them through Heavenly Father's eyes. Only then we can begin to comprehend the true worth of a soul. Only then we can sense the love that Heavenly Father has for all his children."
That's not true, because I don't see people through HF, Heavenly Father's eyes, and I still think that they're valuable.
Katie, unless it's through Heavenly Father's eyes, it doesn't count.
Wow. I didn't know I was such a bitch.
Yeah, you're such a bitch. That's why
I really don't care about anybody. What?
No one wants to pay for your poo because you're such a bitch.
Yeah, I'm such a bitch, and I don't look at people through Heavenly Father's eyes. I don't know how I do it, truly.
And then this statement is where I was like, super, I mean, it's all problematic, but this one, he goes, "Bishops today are blessed with discernment to see the divine identity of the youth in their care." So these same bishops who overlook a lot of problematic shit, or who are the ones who in fact inflict the problematic shit on youth, are also apparently the ones who are blessed with discernment.
The power of discernment. And this is problematic on so many levels, not only because of what you just mentioned, but also there are the few good bishops out there. And imagine placing this on them. Like, you have the power of discernment for the youth in your ward. What kind of, that's just so much pressure.
Yeah.
To be like, you should know everything that's going on in their lives and blah, blah, blah. And then, yeah, like you said, there's the instances where bishops don't help when needs be, or they do inflict harm. And
yeah.
So everything about that statement is just like, no.
It's stupid. And then he goes on, like I'm skipping ahead, but he says, bishops today can lead their uniquely gifted youth in blessing the ward and gathering Israel. President Russell M. Nelson has taught that this is the mission for which they were sent to earth. Like, how much pressure could you put on a young person who's listening to this talk? And also, again, that brainwashing of like, the only purpose you have on being on earth is to be a good missionary and to bless your ward and gather Israel through missionary work. That is your only purpose on earth.
That's so sad. I hate it.
Yeah.
And also that term, gathering Israel, that's like another one of those weird Mormon language terms.
Yeah. And it's still, it's like the sexism is so apparent because it's only talking about bishops and young men. And then finally towards the middle, it's like, the youth today are blessed as bishops follow the guidance of our leaders to counsel with the ward young women presidents. Ensure that bishops and young women presidents are instructed to fulfilling their responsibilities for the youth. So it's like, okay. So they
can
get
I just
to
say too,
them.
Yeah, that the young women's president doesn't really have any power. She basically just oversees and like and teaches the lessons or whatever to the young girls. She doesn't have power like the bishop has power.
Yeah, not at all.
No,
and then
no.
I was like waiting for them to talk about, because you remember, listeners, remember from our previous episode where we talk about Helaman and how they put all the pressure on the mothers and how like, you know, they were the ones who were responsible for being the for making sure they were righteous and blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, they do bring it up in this talk where it says, we learned from Helaman that these young men were supported by their parents. Their faithful parents knew they had a primary responsibility for teaching their children. They taught their children to keep the commandments and walk uprightly before God. Their mothers taught them that if they did not doubt, God would deliver them. Their fathers set a powerful example of covenant making. These former warriors knew the battles, the horrors of battle, but they entrusted their inexperienced sons to Helaman's care and supported them by sending many provisions. Yeah.
That's gotta make parents whose children have left the church feel pretty bad.
Yeah.
Because it's blaming the parents if your child, quote unquote, doesn't keep the commandments or breaks their covenants, then it's your fault for not teaching them, right?
Yeah,
and that's just not true.
It's always the pressure on the and we've talked about this several times and have highlighted it, that it's just, it's really fucked up because you have parents and it breaks my heart to know that my mom thinks that she failed because I've left the church and because we have this podcast and like all of those things, like she, because of the Mormon church, thinks that it's her fault basically and that she didn't do a good, and that just really breaks my heart.
Yeah, me too, because that's not the case. We left the church because, first of all, it's not true, but secondly, because of all the problematic things that it teaches and it perpetuates. So, but they don't want to take responsibility for that, right?
Yeah.
So you got to place the blame somewhere, and then it's always on the members somehow. They didn't do something right somehow. It's never any fault with the church or the doctrine or anything, right?
Oh, never. It's never going to be their fault. So then it goes on and it says, a bishop provides guidance for the ward through councils. He promotes quarterly ministering interviews and then encourages the elders' quorum and relief society to fulfill their responsibility of ministering to families. So this is what we talked about last week with like home teachers and visiting teachers.
That entire sentence, you said things like relief society, elders quorum, ministering.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, if you were a never Mormon or had never heard these terms before, that is like speaking another language.
Yeah.
You'd be like, what did she just say?
Literally, though, it's just pure Mormon lingo the whole way through. Which, side note, I went back after that episode to look up everything that everyone has submitted. And I could not believe the number of times people said, thank you for the moisture.
Told or whatever. You, right? Yeah.
I had never heard that. It has to be a Utah. I've never heard that.
It must be maybe like a Utah or Western United States saying, yeah. Or possibly in Canada as well. I'm not sure, but it's, yeah, they don't say rain. They say moisture. And I don't know where that came from, who started it, but yeah, that's definitely a thing.
I've never heard that. And I lived in Utah for a while, like 5 years. And maybe I did, and I just never registered on me. But, like, I'm just thinking in the South, like, I mean, most of my family are farmers, or I grew up around farmers. And I can't imagine them ever being like my grandpa coming home from working in the farm and being like, oh, well, thank goodness for the moisture. Like, I think he would just say, thank goodness for the rain.
Right? I know. It makes me actually kind of eager to hear my next Mormon prayer, which I don't hear many of them nowadays. But when I visit family or Mormon friends or whatever, and if it's a gathering with multiple Mormons, they'll bless over the food or whatever. And I just want to go to a Mormon gathering when it's been raining and just see if they say moisture. It'll be like a little game.
It'll be like a drinking game.
Right? I know.
Bring a flask.
Drink every time they say moisture. Drink every time they say be thine or thou. And drink any time they say thank you. Or thank thee, rather, and thee. Drink when they say nourish and strengthen.
Oh, that's so amazing. Okay, back to the talk. This one as well, I thought, was super funny because they're just like plugging in. They're doing like internal linking as well within this document to like get people to these other places. But it says, the needed guidance for leaders and parents is found in the Gospel Library and the Gospel Living apps. In these inspired resources, we can find the scriptures, teaching of modern prophets, and the general handbook.
I'm sorry. That sent me inspired app, like an inspired app on your phone. The audacity of these people. It is too fucking funny. Like everything is somehow inspired by celestial Jesus and Heavenly Father. Even the app on your phone.
Even the app on your phone, you guys, is inspired resources. That's
phenomenal.
I just was like, you've got to be kidding me. And no, it keeps going. Like they do not let go let loose on this at all. It's like, where does it say? Oh, the general handbook. The youth tab in the Gospel Library has many resources for quorum and class presidency and has, for the strength of youth, a guide for making choices. As all members of the ward study these inspired sources and seek guidance from the Spirit, everyone will be directed by the Lord and strengthening youth.
Girl, this is too funny. I swear to celestial Jesus, everyone, I am dead sober right now. I am not higher drunk, but this is killing me. Like, you'll go on this app and you'll go to this tab and the Holy Spirit will speak to you the words of God.
It's just so ridiculous.
And here's the thing is that I go on that website. I'm on that website right now.
Me too. I'm on it right now for their material because I didn't have time today to copy and paste in a Google Doc. So I was like, fuck it. I'm going to have to give them traffic to their like website visits and page visits. And I'm going to be doing all the linking. And I was like, I don't want to, but I don't have time.
Is this the Holy Ghost speaking to us and making me giggle with glee? Are we being affected?
Obviously, Katie, that I am on this page because it is inspired Google search that has sent me to this page.
This is all a part of Heavenly Father's plan. I knew it.
Yep. It's inspired. I feel like I should download the app on my phone again. I need the Gospel Library on my phone.
No.
Living as well.
Gospel Living. How many? I bet there are so many Mormon apps. Ooh, that could be an episode. Just exploring all the Mormon apps. Yeah.
Definitely.
You know what would be fun?
What?
is to pretend to be a Mormon and get on a Mormon dating app and like do like undercover talking.
Oh my god. Maybe okay. We should, because you know, yeah, what? Although I wouldn't get any hits. I've been on the app. What was the one? It was called
called Mutual.
Mutual, yes, Mutual. Which also, can we just talk about how I found that super problematic? In that Mutual in Mormon terms and like Mormon language is for youth, like under 18. It's when young women and young men have an overlapping activity on a Wednesday. Is mm-hmm. Mutual.
Yeah, from the ages of, I think, 12 or 13 to 18.
18, yeah.
But yeah, yes, so that's really gross when it's like, but yeah, they're wanting to link you up as young as possible.
Yeah, and then they have an app that's called Mutual that you are supposed to use as an adult, but it's referencing a youth thing.
Yeah, that's weird. That is weird.
Just putting it out there. I was on it as a Mormon. Because
how was it?
Like global.
Yeah.
And so you could talk to anyone, anywhere. I can't remember much about it, to be honest. I obviously didn't have any, like, great connections, so.
Yeah. You mean to tell me you didn't meet Greg on there?
Yes.
Yes.
I met Greg on Mutual. He was inspired to download the app because it was an inspired resource.
Absolutely inspired resource.
Mm-hmm. And he was like, what's this Mormon girl with her side bang and crop cardigan on?
Give me some of that.
She's got those long garments on with some swamp crotch. Give me that.
Delicious.
Yeah, that's what it was. That's what won him over. That's what it was. Yeah, okay, so back to this good old talk. I want to pull out some more because they keep referring to this as like the rising generation, you know, which they always do. Every generation, mm-hmm. every era is the rising generation. We've all been told that as Mormons. Like yes. everyone knows that every decade and every era is the rising
generation. The rising, the chosen generation.
The chosen, yeah. Exactly. But he goes on, so basically he's like talking about the relationship between God and you and the Holy Ghost, as in you, as in the youth and the Holy Ghost. And it's saying, he goes on, he's like, acting on promptings from the Lord builds relationships of love and trust. It is relationships in the lives of the youth that have the greatest influence on their choices.
Uh-oh.
I was like,
is this essentially saying stay away from non-Mormons?
Yeah. Yep, the youth will learn the pattern of revelation as they participate with us in the process of seeking and acting upon promptings to serve others. As the youth turn to the Lord for this inspired guidance, their relationships with and trust in Him will deepen.
Again, not yeah. every single thing that you think is prompted by either God or the devil, but okay.
Yep. And then he comes back to good old Helaman and says, Helaman helped the young Ammonites to see how a valiant disciple of Jesus Christ lives. We can be powerful examples to the youth on how disciples of Christ live to get today. Faithful parents are praying for these children in their lives of their, sorry, are praying for these examples in the lives of their children. No program can replace the influence of loving, covenant-keeping adults. Which Ooh. We have talked about this quite a few times, in that it's, I mean, the whole shit is just like problematic. But as a Mormon youth listening to this, and if you didn't have parents who were sealed in the temple, it sucks having like talks like this, because yeah. I was that Mormon and it really was like, it was horrible, because it was always, oh, your parents should have been married in the temple and our covenant. And I was like, I didn't have that. So I never felt good enough, or I never felt like I would be righteous enough because my parents weren't married in the temple.
Yeah. And I'm taking this even to another level, putting myself in your shoes, hearing something like this. Not only does your mind immediately go to, well, my parents weren't married in the temple, my father isn't active, what does yeah. that say about me? But also, your best friends were not Mormon yeah. growing up. And yeah. it's telling you basically, like, the people that you surround yourself with are what's going to get you back to God, and making it seem like people who aren't Mormon are just going to hold you back.
Uh-huh.
And that's terrible. That's just othering people and stopping and halting potentially those relationships. You know, luckily, like, you maintained your friendships, but it's just, it's sad to me that they would even say this about other people.
It's horrible. And it's also that, exactly that. And then the other thing, and I'm going to do like a full blown episode on Patreon eventually on this, not today, but I have like some notes. So I went down like a rabbit hole of, so last week we talked about the Mormon terminology and like language, and we talked about ponderize. And then that just sent me on this like reading through all of my ex's emails when he was on his mission and stuff. And it was at such a pivotal point in my life as an adult, when I'm doing air quotes adult, because I feel like even though age-wise I was there, like maturity and from being in the church was like not there. But this idea that you have to sacrifice certain things in order to be in, and like friendships and your perception on what is righteous and what is good and how you shouldn't be around like certain people who aren't Mormon. It's crazy how deeply embedded this was in our brains. And
yeah,
emails I was going through, I was shocked, Katie. Like, I cannot wait to share with you guys at some point, like verbatim Mormon Sarah, like my way of thinking was like writing to this guy while he was on his mission and saying like, oh, I'm avoiding hanging out with certain people, and like so judgy, being like, oh, you know, they don't have the gospel in their life and like they're just, you know, missing out, and you know, they're, I can't believe they made those choices, like so judgmental. But it made me really sad because I thought, like, reading through those and reliving those moments and those memories as an ex-Mormon and thinking I missed out on a lot of amazing opportunities and relationships and friendships because I had that way of thinking.
Yeah.
And it saddened me. Like, I was just like, whoa. And even points where it was, and again, back to like how they're brainwashing the youth and all these things that they're putting in of like inspired this, and you should want to serve the Lord and blah, you know, give up basically everything to make sure your focus is on the Lord and blah, 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 blah. I was talking about careers that I completely had even forgot about, like these career opportunities I had at such a young, like it, well, it wasn't super young, but like 26 years old, where I'm thinking about like really great opportunities. And I turned them down because this guy expected me to be a stay-at-home mom.
And, oh my God.
And to not have a career that would take me away from my responsibilities of being a wife and a mother.
It truly changes every aspect and the trajectory of your life. And there's this insidiousness to it in that it's cloaked in a veil of, we love everybody and we accept everybody, right? There's that Mormon smile and the Mormon friendliness. But underneath that are these teachings that the people outside are othered and they're scary and they're bad. And so you can be polite to them. You can say hello to them, but don't let them too close. And the ultimate goal is do what the church wants you to do. Do what the priesthood holders tell you to do. And it truly does limit your relationships. Absolutely.
It's wild. Your relationships, everything. It's just.
Yeah. And everything like about your life. Yeah.
And teaching you to be like, you know, from a young age to be so judgmental and so, like, I just couldn't believe some of the stuff that was, and the fact that it'd be like, oh, so-and-so is no longer active anymore, and like how sad for them, and how sad can they, you know, miss out on the blessings of eternal life. And it was just crazy. Like, it really sent me, like, my head spinning for a few days, just being like, whoa, because I had just forgotten that was a huge part of my life. Like, we talk about it on the podcast, but that level of indoctrination and brainwashing and this talk, you know, it highlights all that, like talking about the rising generation and youth and how important it is to influence them, whether it's by the inspired resources and apps that they can get their hands on, but it's, you know, that pressure from adults and from family and from your parents and bishops to make sure that they are on the right path and that they're not looking at anything outside of just this is what you're meant to do. And then how that really develops your adult life too. Like that,
yeah,
it makes you that person as a Mormon, as an adult. And it's just crazy because I just went through all of that content and was like, fuck, that is,
that's wild.
That's it. Because you kind of block it out. And I'm sure you've done that, and many listeners who are ex-Mormon, you kind of just block out these certain things where I shoved it so far down. And when it came to light, I was like, I cannot believe I was that person. And I cannot believe that I gave up so many different opportunities or relationships or friendships or experiences because of this church, because it told me not to.
Yeah. What? And isn't it just such a mind fuck to look back on that person, on that young woman, on that girl, and think that's not me, like, at all. I feel like an almost entirely different person. I mean, there's still aspects of my personality that are the same, but so much in how we perceived the world and interacted with the world is so vastly different from now that it kind of rocks me. It's like I'm grappling with my identity sometimes.
Oh my God, 100%. Like I really, it was crazy. Like I went through like all, I just couldn't believe it and was shooketh, if we can say that. And it even got so, I mean, it was over like a time period of maybe like 3 or 4 days, just in the evenings right before going to bed, just like reading through that. And I was kind of zoning out. And once I got through all of it and was just like in this state of like, fuck, I cannot believe that I let that happen, that I was that young woman, that it just broke my heart. Because if I saw anyone else going through that, I would just shake them and be like, what are you doing? Like, you deserve so much better. You deserve like, just, yeah, that's a whole other separate conversation, but just, I can't believe I dodged that bullet, and I'm so hashtag grateful that I did, that I'm not in a Mormon relationship married to someone who doesn't see anything beyond just we have to be right, quote unquote, righteous, and temple worthy and all that bullshit. And after I like kind of shook out of that, like I was like, okay, I gotta get my head out of this, like this is crazy. I just looked at Greg and like gave him a big old hug and cuddle. And I was like, I'm so glad I chose you and I ended up with you. Like, I'm so glad. And he was like, what? Cause he's over there just like watching football. And he's like, you've been quiet. And I'm like, And
then I just told him.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh, I just went through this like rabbit hole of like reading all these interactions. And like, it reminded me of, like, yeah, just where I was before. And like, I'm so happy that I'm with you. And like, I'm not a different person that I'm pretending to be because that's what the church told me to. And they put so much pressure on youth and on young people and like influencing them. And it's sad. And I wish I could just tell all these young Mormons, like, don't do it. Like, don't waste your youth and your early adult years on this cult. Like,
I'm with you, and I can't wait to hear those emails.
Oh, they're doozies, guys. They're like,
hooey.
God. Like, I was just like, I cannot, who is this person? That's what I just kept, I was like, oh, I sent that? Oh my God, I sent that? No.
So bad. Oh. Wow.
Anyways, all right, guys, that is
thank you for sharing that. And I got, yeah, that was a roller coaster all over the place, from
from poop
to just cackling my head off at the inspired apps. It was wonderful. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.